Data Bytes. Hello everyone, welcome back to the latest episode of the Denuro Data Bytes series. I'm your host Neha, and it is my pleasure to announce that we have Kevin Bohan joining us today for part two of a very interesting conversation on data self-service for data democratization. Kevin is the Director of Product Marketing for North America at Denuro. With a proven track record in product marketing leadership and a talent for devising and executing comprehensive go-to-market strategies on a global scale, Kevin is sure to provide us with invaluable insights. Welcome to our show, Kevin. Glad to have you back. So I'm totally looking forward to our discussion on data self-service for data democratization today after discussing how data self-service is a critical component for any data-driven strategy in our previous episode and how both of these topics are becoming more and more relevant for organizations to build effective strategies and data products. So before we begin though, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Denuro for our new listeners, please?
Sure. So I've been in the technology industry for a long time. And over the course of my career, what I've done is worked closely with customers, helping them integrate their different systems, integrate their data to make sure they get the most value from it. And at Denuro, that's exactly what I'm doing as well. I work with the internal users within Denuro, as well as closely with our customers, to articulate the value that users can get by modernizing how they go about integrating their data assets. And I think that's part of what we'll be talking about today. So I'm really excited about today's session.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. So jumping right into our conversation today, I know we discussed this a little bit in our previous episode about data products, but I want to know a little bit more about it. So what are data products and how do they fit into the concept of data self-service and democratization?
Sure. So recently there was this survey done and they asked organizations, and they asked the chief data analytics officers, chief data officers, to identify their top priority for the coming year. And data products, to me, a little bit surprising, was the second highest on the list, only after data modernization efforts. It was actually above AI and ML on the list, which to me, well, it was a bit interesting, but I do know, and in the conversations that I'm having, there's a tremendous amount of interest with inside of organizations for data products. And the reason that is I think what it does is it finally, if applied correctly and, you know, articulated to the business correctly, it, I think, finally aligns the business with what the data teams have been trying to do for a while. So let me explain what a data product is. And I think that when you understand that a little bit, you'll understand like the tremendous value with them. But before jumping into data products, let me just take an analogy of a product that we'd all be familiar with and describe a little bit about what makes it a product beyond what you might just think of initially. So think of Tylenol, and the product itself isn't just the capsule that you're going to take to get you over the headache or alleviate the pain that you might be experiencing, but there's a lot more to the product. If you went into your pharmacy and the pills were lined up like apples and oranges when you went into the supermarket, and there's a pile of them, you're not going to have the same trust in it. You're not going to be as comfortable in taking that particular capsule. What the manufacturers have realized is there's a lot more to a product than just the actual thing that somebody might be consuming. So, you know, what type of pill is it? What's its intended use? Can I trust the ingredients or what's making this up? Where did it come from? How old are they? Things like that need to be addressed to give you the confidence to be able to trust that you are willing to take it. Well, if we think about it, and on the packaging that you get, all of that information is provided. It gives you a description of the product. It lets you know what its intended use is. It gives you expiration date. You see all the different security measures to make sure nothing was tampered with or anything like that. If we apply that same concept to what we're delivering as data, I think most of us would probably say, you know, we're just delivering the raw tablet and not giving that same information. And that's where there's that disconnect where many users identify that they don't necessarily trust the data that they're given or that they have access to with inside of their organization. If we think about delivering the data as a complete package that has all of the information that's needed to make it so People are going to have faith and trust in it. They're going to understand how to use it, and they're going to be able to effectively use it. That's really what we're talking about in data products. So with data products, it's more than just, you know, the data models and the schema and all of that. It's the semantics around the information. It's the transformations or the combinations and the integrations of where did the data come from? How is it combined? So understanding the lineage. And then also all of the different access controls and all of that. All of that goes into making up the data product. And it also encompasses the full life cycle of it, that this is a good source, but it's only valid for this particular quarter or this particular week, things like that. If we think of it from that perspective, it is a lot easier to understand why, if done right, it adds tremendous value in having users be able to, one, better find the data that they need, because now they're going to understand, oh, well, that data source is the source I was looking for, because it clearly articulates what I'm looking to achieve. But it also gives them all that other information to have the trust and to have a proper experience with it, that they're going to be more likely to use it and have others use it and things like that. So that's what, when people talk about data products, they're really talking about.
Thank you, Kevin. I mean, it was very interesting to think of data product as, you know, as a complete package that, you know, kind of helps build trust for organizations and also improve like credibility, right? That was really interesting to know. So my next question that I have for you is, why are data products gaining traction in organizations today? And how do they contribute to fostering a culture of data-driven decision-making?
Sure. So McKinsey & Company did a study, and what they identified is there was a 30% reduction in total cost of ownership when you took this data product approach. What happens is it's a lot more straightforward to have, and we didn't talk about too much of this yet, but have individuals that understand the underlying data that they're making available to other teams, to have an understanding of the full life cycle, providing the proper information and all of that up front. It significantly reduces the total cost of ownership. And companies are starting to see this in some initial projects they're doing, and now they're looking to expand it, to roll it out broader within the organization. So that's really where the value comes from. They see that not only is it going to be, you know, a reduced cost, but they're getting greater value from the data because it's being reused by more within the organization. And that reuse is really what drives the value, drives that whole goal of becoming more data-driven, democratizing the data for more within the organization to use. So there's a lot of value that organizations have already started to experience, and they're looking to expand on that.
Thanks for sharing, Kevin. So my next question for you is, data self-service initiatives often aim to empower data teams embedded within the business, right? So could you discuss how organizations can effectively empower these teams to be successful, especially in the context of data democratization?
Sure. So if you think about it, these data teams are both data consumers because they're going to need to get access to the underlying initial data sources. So let's use an example so we can follow it through when we talk through some of this. But let's think of like a bank. I think most listeners are familiar with banks because they are customers of banks and they understand the different, you know, products they might offer. So within a bank, you have different business units that operate very independently. So the team that provides mortgages operates very differently than the team that's providing checking and savings accounts. And likewise, those that are providing investment services are very different than those other two teams that I mentioned. So those individuals individual teams each understand their data and how that data might be used by others within the organization quite well. But what they're going to first need to be is the consumer to get the data from the different back-end systems that are driving their operations. So by creating a logical abstraction layer, what happens is it makes it easy for them to find and access the data that they initially need. But one of the things that we spoke about in the previous episode is creating semantics and a semantic layer around the information. What they can do is take that initial data and package it up differently without having to make additional copies and all that. And that's why this logical approach to data management we spoke of earlier allows them to bring in multiple data sources. It allows them to now combine them, transform certain fields into, you know, perhaps combining, you know, first name and last name into customer name and making them combined and things like that. They can do some of these transformations. And then what they need to be able to do is publish that data. And again, using and leveraging some of the concepts we spoke about in the previous podcast around the data catalog, and then defining within the data catalog the attributes about the new data product that they just created, gives that visibility into the consumers of what they just created as a data product, the information about the intended use or the useful life of it and all those other attributes I mentioned earlier. Also, what happens is the system will automatically provide that lineage to show where the different data came from, how the transformations took place and all of that. So the consumers of these data products now have that. But now another aspect that's also important, it's not just, you know, how are they going to get access to the data? How do they then transform that data into it being usable? But they also understand the data better than the centralized teams on what particular fields are particularly sensitive, which ones have sensitive financial information, which one might have personally identifiable healthcare information, you know, what fields should be potentially protected. What they understand is they understand the data real well, but they don't necessarily understand corporate policy. They don't understand legal regulations that you have to comply with for this particular region or this particular country. So what we're able to do within the platform is allow them to define tags or semantics to the different attributes that they're making available in these data products, but then have a centralized team that better understands the regulations, the corporate policy, define global policies to say any personal identifiable information should be protected this way or should not be disclosed to these people. Any personal healthcare information should not be disclosed to anyone, or there's a regulation that doesn't allow customer information to leave a particular country. All of those things that can be defined on a global level by a security team, by a compliance team that understands those regulations well. So the goal really is to leverage the skills best that these domain teams possess, the teams with inside of the line of business, and then have a centralized team that understands the policies and regulations that the organization is required to comply with, and have them define the global policy. So you're leveraging the expertise of both teams to the fullest, and you're not necessarily confining either one of the teams. They are operating autonomously. They can do what they need to do, but also the organization is ensured that they're protected and they're complying with the different regulations.
Moving forward, embracing data self-service can lead to transformative benefits for organizations. Could you elaborate on some specific examples of these benefits in real-world scenarios, please?
Sure. So there's a few that come to mind, and maybe I'll just touch upon them quickly because we have a lot of details out on our website. So one bank that we were working with, Ladens Bank, and what they did is they implemented a data self-service platform using the Denodo platform. And what they were able to achieve is over 80% of the target users were now able to access data that they needed, were able to share platform, and they truly democratized data throughout the entire bank. 80% is an incredible number. I think if I was talking to one analyst firm, and I think that they were estimating that the average company has about 30% of the target users using data sources. So 80% is a tremendous success. Going on the what we were just talking around, the data products, Schneider Electronics, they were having a problem scaling to meet the demand of the different data teams. So they took this whole approach of creating data products, allowing these domain teams with inside of the line of business to be able to create their own data products and then expose those to others within the organization. And by doing so, what they were able to do is they were able to dramatically improve the number of data products or data sources that they were delivering, because no longer did it have to go through a centralized team, but they were able to have a centralized security and governance model in place. So they got a tremendous value out of that. The last one, just from a example standpoint that comes to mind, is Prologis. And what they were able to do is leveraging this centralized data access layer, they created these analytical building blocks or data products that basically allowed them to combine them in different ways, use those for different capabilities. One of the things that they identified for us is their data scientists no longer spent an excessive amount of time up front in data exploration, data preparation, and they were able to improve the effectiveness of each of the data scientists by over 30%. So I talked about it a little bit in the previous podcast on, you know, the data scientists spending a lot of time in data preparation, but overall performance for the data scientists were improved by 30% from what Prologis found. So those are just a few examples of overall number of users within the organization that now had access to data, from Lads Banking being at 80%, Schneider Electronic going to this domain model to significantly improve the number of data products they were able to bring to market to allow users within the organization to benefit from these different data products because they no longer had to go through a centralized data team, and Prologis improving the performance of their data scientists by over 30%, all good examples on different ways that data democratization adds value to the organization.
Wow, these were some really great examples. Thanks for sharing, Kevin. And my last question for you today is, what are some pain points driving organizations to adopt data self-service initiatives? Like, can you discuss how addressing these pain points relates to empowering data teams within the organization and ultimately contributing to the success of data democratization efforts?
Sure. A few of the things, like from a pain point standpoint, again, I always like survey information. There was one survey that I was reading in Forbes recently, and they were identifying, you know, what are some of the reasons that organizations are not becoming data-driven? And one of the things that was interesting is only 21% of the respondents indicated that they were fully confident with their data literacy skills, meaning that nearly 80% of the users within or outside of organizations are not confident in being able to use the data that they're provided. Another thing that was interesting that was also identified in that same survey is 33% of the organizations surveyed say that their data and the trustworthiness they have with the data is not enough to be effective and drive value from the data. So 2/3 of organizations are saying that they don't necessarily trust the data enough to gain value from it. So data self-service is a lot around not only providing the information to the user, but it's providing the information to the user in a format or a language that they can gain value from, that they can understand, that they can then translate into action, to translate into doing something different to drive value for the business. But it's not just about making it available to them or making it available to them in a language that they understand. It's about also building that trust in the source of the information so they have confidence that the data that they're seeing will allow them to make that decision, to take that action, to drive that value, to mitigate that risk, or whatever they're looking to do with the information. So it's the trust that you build with inside of the data. And it's also providing that information in a timely manner so they can take that action that's going to drive that outcome. So the key is really providing it in the language they need, in the time they need, and to make sure that it's trustworthy so they have confidence in using the data to do something different to drive value for the organization.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Kevin. This was a wonderful session. Before we wrap up today, I would like to do a quick Q&A round just like last time. So are you all set?
I am.
Perfect. So my question for you today is, what is a favorite hobby or a sport of yours?
My favorite sport is baseball. but that's more from these days, at least, more from a spectator standpoint. I'm a big Yankee fan, so I'm based in New York, so Yankees are my team. But also, probably more so these days, I have two sons. I also have two daughters, but my two sons play baseball. Watching them, rooting for their team, a big favorite of mine. So definitely, if I had a sport or my favorite sport, it would be baseball.
Awesome. That's good to know. And the final question for the day is, name an interesting book, a movie, or even a documentary that you have found interesting recently.
There's one book that I found very interesting. It's called The Company, and it's an historical fiction, and it's about the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, and it goes from the inception of when it was created all the way through to the early 2000s, but it was going back to, I think, what we talked about on the last podcast of what drives my interest. The amount of detail that I learned around, you know, world history and different things that took place in the world from those, you know, basically from like the end of World War II during the whole Cold War and all of that type of stuff and things that are happening around the world. It was a really interesting book for people who like history and like historical fictions. I would recommend it. I will tell you, it's not a light read. The book, like the hardcover copy, is probably a good like 4 or 5 inches thick. It's a big many pages and everything, but it gets into a lot of detail. Really interesting book. So something, if you're interested in that type of genre, I would recommend it.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin. This has been an amazing episode. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us about data self-service and democratization today.
Well, thank you for having me. As always, I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to coming back another time.
Thank you. We look forward to it too. And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.